My part of this presentation is very brief. I just got a few studies that I want to go over, and then we'll turn it over to Rick to talk about a very interesting experience that they had in Arkansas. And so mine is just on a little bit of some of the science in here on school laws, and I'll be very interested in getting to partake and participate in the discussion that we have at the end of this. So back a while ago, back in 78, when the measles schedule was one dose of vaccine, one of the key studies that was done was to take a look at what the role of expulsion from school for not being vaccinated was. And this was a study that really kind of started to turn the schools on to actually enforcing the laws. And so there were six states that decided that they were going to enforce these laws that they had on the books for a number of years. And it, shown here in the numbers here are the numbers of cases, the measles incidence per 100,000, so 47 in 75 to 76, 40.6 in 1977, and that's when they started to enforce their laws with expulsion. And then in 78, these six states showed a reduction down to 2.7 cases per 100,000. Then in the other states that were not in this group of six that decided to enforce the law, what was seen is that there was remained a high incidence rate, 50, 90, and 35.2. Now the following year, there was another study that came out, and this one, the comparison goes a little bit different. So we have the bars close, or the columns close to me. There were states that had a low incidence of measles outbreaks in their schools. And then the bar away from me, the high one, they had a higher number of outbreaks of measles, and they were divided. And so these two groups of states, 13 in the low, 10 in the high, were compared with each other. And so the top comparison is, did they have laws for measles? And the answer was, yeah, 92% of the low incidence states did, and 90% of the high incidence states did. How long had those laws been in existence? And they were around for about the same period of time, around a little over 6 to 7 years. Did the laws cover school entry? These were kindergarten laws, and the laws were pretty much the same, 90% and 92% for the high and the low incidence states. But the two differences in here is one of them, the low incidence states, the laws covered all the grades, and so if somebody transferred schools from one school to another, they would have to show that they were protected against measles before they'd be allowed to get into school. And that was not true in the high incidence states. And then the next one is, did they enforce the school laws through expulsion until the child got vaccinated? And that was the key difference in here. As you can see, none of the high incidence states did not enforce the schools. All of the high incidence states really excluded, none of the high incidence states, this one's a little confusing in here, none of the high incidence states really were excluding kids from school entry. So they were not enforcing the law. And so enforcement was sort of the first lesson of the school laws. They were on the books. If they weren't enforced, they weren't working. When they were enforced, they were working. In the mid-90s, under the leadership of Natalie Smith in California, they developed a middle school entry law for seventh grade kids for hepatitis B vaccine. And this law worked very well, and it was enforced. But before it was enforced, the law was passed, and there was sort of a notification that that the kids would have to show proof of vaccination before they could go into school. And you can see that once the law was passed in here, the seventh graders, where they were starting to enforce the law, their coverage for hepatitis B vaccine went up. Ann Schuchat talked about this slide earlier in the morning, so I'm not going to go over that. And Preeta talked about the number of school exemptions, so I won't go over that in the interest of time. But in sort of the implementation matters part, Jennifer Rota did a really nice study that was done back in 2001, so not too long ago. And what she did is she divided the states into the ease of obtaining an exemption. And so the ease of exemption over here has to do with the red are states where it was difficult to obtain an exemption. So for example, there would have to be a notary public signature before a child could get out, or a note from the doctor, or some sort of proof in here. And then if we took a look at the exemption rates, the bar towards me, the exemption rates were low, and then they were medium, and then they were high in the bar away from me. And the key point in Jennifer Rota's study is that the difficult to obtain exemptions were not represented at all in the high exemption rates. And so it sort of made sense. It was nice to see this right out there in the literature, that actually, you know, that the ease of exemption really makes a big difference in here. And then we've seen this played out, and I think Rick is going to talk at much more length in the Arkansas experience in here. If you compare the states and the exemption rates across time of those that had philosophical exemptions, so in addition to a religious exemption, just a sort of a personal belief that they don't like vaccinations for their children, you can see that those states that had an allowed philosophical exemptions, the increase was much greater in here. And so the implementation, the type of exemptions, all of this really matters. And I think one of the things that we're kind of getting worried about is that the school laws may be starting to get tired again. There is a study by an investigative journalist in Atlanta, and she took a look at the exemption rates and the exclusion rates in some of the Atlanta area schools and found out that there were a lot of schools that had non-vaccination rates in the 20s and 30s and 40s percent, and they just weren't enforcing these laws. And so if we go all the way back to the beginning, that enforcement is the only thing that really seems to make a big difference. If the laws aren't enforced, then we have to be worried that we're going to be set up for more and more cases of measles, and now with the HIV vaccine shortage, and we're starting to see breakthrough disease from the exemptors, we have to really be worried that that disease is going to start coming back as well. So what I'd like to do is to turn this over to Rick to talk about a very interesting and very important experience, and as Rick is coming up here, to mention there'll be a one of the featured sessions, Angela Sorrells will be talking about the New Jersey experience in incorporating the influenza law. So I'll turn it over to Rick.